The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Welcome to The Rescue Worker. Thank you for joining us for this transformational journey, a journey that takes a lifetime, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like Jesus. Jesus apprentices. That's right, Jesus apprentices. And Jesus apprentices have a model for their life. And the model is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. We need to keep this model in our minds, and we need to repeat and think about it. How can I love God more? How can I love my neighbor more? How can I love myself more? That is about being an apprentice of Jesus Christ. I want to remind you about our website, therescueworker.com. There you can find all the medias where we are sharing what we have been producing, such as Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and podcast as well. If you missed an episode or want to listen again, you can do that through Spotify or any other podcast. And we have this system so we can bless you and help you to mature your faith. We are on this journey, the journey of Luke. We are trying to experience Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. We are in the second week, the second day of the second week. And today you'll be studying how Mary received the good news about the birth of Jesus. Yesterday, we studied how Zechariah learned about the birth of John the Baptist. And today, it will be about Mary. There are so many similarities, but there are some contrasts and different outcomes as well that we want to highlight some of them. But before, I want to remind you about our memory verse. Every week, we choose one verse that will be the verse that we are challenging you or encouraging you to memorize. And the verse for this week is Luke 1:37. For the word of God will never fail. Repeat after me. For the word of God will never fail. Wow, that's a short and powerful memory verse. And it's interesting because this memory verse comes from our account today, the account that we'll be studying. And that words were shared by the angel Gabriel. So a very important message for us today. But before we go and read the Bible and trying to understand and take lessons for our day today, I want to give you the opportunity to connect with God, to prepare yourself to meet the Lord through His Word, through prayer. The reality is that God is accessible to us. And He invites us to come before Him. That is the promise of Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. God is inviting you right now to come before Him, to be in His presence. And in His presence, He will bless you. That is an amazing image of God, a loving God that wants to have a fellowship with you and wants to bless you. So prepare yourself to come before His presence, to hear His word. So I want to give you 1 minute for a short prayer, for you to put aside any concern that maybe will be a stumbling block for you to connect with God. So take this moment to clear the path so you can have a powerful moment with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for receiving us to be in your presence. Thank you for preparing for us a special blessing. We pray that you speak to us and bless us through your word. Give the assurance of your love, your and of your care to everyone that is listening to my voice at this moment. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, let's start with our Bible account. If you have your Bible, you can open with me, and we'll be reading Luke chapter 1, starting on verse 26. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. That is the version that I have adopted for our experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And verse 26 says the following. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So Luke now is connect the account, the accounts. He wants you to pay attention what happened before, but to know the flow. So yesterday we study how Isabel got pregnant after a visit of angel Gabriel to Zechariah. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee. So Luke's trying to give you an overview of what is happening. Well, 6 months after Isabel is pregnant, Gabriel comes in picture again. Now he doesn't go to Jerusalem. He goes to a small village in Galilee. He tries to define and help the reader to understand and maybe grasp the image of what is taking place. Maybe people were not familiar with Nazareth, the village of Nazareth, but they were familiar with Galilee because of the Galilee Sea. And I have a map here about Israel, and I want to try to show you, and maybe I'll change here the cameras, but Jerusalem is just here, okay? We have the Mediterranean Sea, we have this body of water that is the Dead Sea, and kind of a hill, we have Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the capital, Jerusalem was the most important city of the kingdom of Israel. And Nazareth, where's Nazareth? Nazareth is north here, probably 120 kilometers from Jerusalem, close to the Galilee Sea or the Galilee Lake and the Mediterranean Sea. So in the middle, in the mountains as well, we have Nazareth. Nazareth was a small village with a dozens of houses. And instead of going to the capital, to the great center, Gabriel now goes to a small village, the village of Nazareth. And what is the reason he goes there? Well, let's continue read verse 27. Maybe I'll start from the beginning so we can get the flow. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. Wow, more information. He's going to speak with a girl, or a woman, better saying, Mary. And from the beginning, on the introduction of Mary, the Bible declares, looks state out, she is a virgin. We have this affirmation that she didn't have sexual relationships prior to the birth of Jesus at least three times here on this account. Okay? Three times. She's a virgin. She's Mary. Mary was a well-known name in the biblical times. Mary was kind of a Greek version of Miriam, the name of Moses' sister. So Mary is the translation or the Greek version of that. So the angel goes to Mary, and now he tries to give more information. Who's this Mary? So pay attention to what Luke is pointing out. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. So she was supposed to get married. And the woman in the biblical times and that area would go through this process of engagement when they were 12 to 13 years old. So it is probably Mary was that young, a teenager, 12 to 13. That's what some scholars suggest. Maybe old as 16, but on that space between 12 to 16 years old, she's young. She's supposed to marry Joseph. And Joseph comes from the lineage, the family of David. Important information, because we'll come back about this point of David. So, can you imagine this little girl that still playing maybe with dolls, running in the small streets of Nazareth, sees an angel. An angel come to her with a message. So let's continue. Verse 28. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Imagine Mary, that girl in a small town, seeing an angel before her. And now the angel says, "Your favored woman." So what have I done to be favored? And I think here we have a great important lesson for us. The grace of God. Most of us try to be favored in people's eyes, in the society. For that, we try to have a better position on our jobs, a better house, a better education. We want to be favored. We want to feel special. But when we go to the Bible, some people say, okay, what I can do so I can be like Mary, to be favored in God's eyes? And here's the point. You don't need to do anything to be favored in God's eyes. Really? Yes. Because God's kingdom is based on grace. Let me try to explain a little bit further. Let's go back to Genesis 1. On Genesis 1, there's an account of the beginning of the world and the beginning of the creation and the birth, right? Or the coming of Adam and Eve. So let me ask you, what had Adam and Eve done to deserve to be created in God's image? Nothing. what Adam and Eve have deserved to receive and live in the garden, in that perfect garden. Nothing. What they have deserved to rest on the Sabbath day, since they were created on the Friday or the day before, and have done nothing. You see, since the beginning, God's kingdom is based on grace. Grace favors human beings, not because they have done something special, but because God is a loving and gracious God. So he favors humankind. And here, Mary was favored just because she was alive, because God looked at her. And I want to tell you today that you are favored in God's eyes because God is looking at you right now. You don't need to do something to earn God's favor. God is a graceful God. His kingdom is based on grace, and he favors you and I. And that's so beautiful. And the Bible verse continues. Verse 29. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Can you imagine what's going on here? It's an angel in front of me. He's saying that I'm favored. What is happening here? And then the angel says, verse 30, don't be afraid, Mary. Again, the message, don't be afraid. We don't need to be afraid of God. God is a loving God. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her. For you have found favor with God. Again, God, the gracious God, is looking at you at this moment, and he loves you. You're just a teenager, Mary, but God loves you, and God is proud of you. Verse 31. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. Like the angel did with Zachariah, saying, hey, Zachariah, you have a son, and you'll give him a name of John. Gabriel also comes to Mary and says, Mary, you have a baby, and let me give you the name of this baby, Jesus. Jesus was, again, another name that was popular on those days. Jesus would be the kind of translation from the Hebrew word Joshua. Remember that one that helped Moses, right? And Joshua has the meaning of God is the salvation, right? God is my salvation. So Jesus will be the transliteration, right? The translation of the name Joshua in Greek, Jesus. And now, the same way that the angel did with Zechariah, telling him about what that baby would be or what's the purpose of the baby, he now comes and tells Mary what that babe will be, what his purpose. He'll be very great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. Wow. Mary is saying and listening that she'll get pregnant, but pregnant to a boy, she's supposed to give a specific name, Jesus, and the purpose of this baby would be to sit on David's throne. Wow. Mary had learned on the synagogue with her parents that a Messiah, an anointed one, will come from the throne of David, from the lineage of David, and that Messiah would rule over. Somehow, all that is coming fulfillment on Mary's life. Can you imagine what was going on her mind? I can't. And verse 33, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary, you are the one that will give birth to the Messiah. That is too much information. comes verse 34, the reaction of Mary. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. Do you remember the question or that Zechariah did, I think verse 18? How can I be sure this will happen? I'm old man now and my wife is also well along in years. Zechariah couldn't believe and he asked for a proof. He asked for an evidence that he would, that miracle would happen. Right? So if Zechariah asked that and then he lost his speech, what could happen to Mary? And here a very important aspect. Mary, on her question, and the original, and the idea is not give me a proof of that. The idea is, hey, can you explain to me how that will happen? Because I'm a virgin. You see, Mary didn't doubt the message of the angel. She was curious about the methodology, how that would happen. Okay, I believe in you. I need to believe in you. But can you explain to me how that will happen? Because I'm not married yet. I'm a virgin. Different from Zechariah that asked for a sign, she asked for explanation. And now, the angel kindly provide to her with the explanation how that will happen. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Hey Mary, here's the process. The Holy Spirit will come over you. Do you know how that happened? What are the details or how that occurred? No, we can't. We don't. And even if we have information, we probably will not understand because our minds are limited. We are human beings and we are talking about spiritual things. But what we know is the birth of Jesus will be miraculous to the point that he would be the Son of God. He will be holy. And that was the way that would happen. Mary asked how, the angel explained. Even though Mary didn't ask for an evidence or a proof that that would happen, the angel gives a proof to her. Verse 36. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. Hey Mary, a miracle happened with someone that is related to you. You know her. She couldn't have children, but she's pregnant of 6 months right now. Hey Mary, if that happened to her, to Elizabeth, it can happen to you. And now comes verse 37, the verse or memory verse for this week. For the word of God will never fail. And some other translations, right, that comes from different manuscripts would say verse 37, for nothing is impossible with God. For nothing is impossible for God. Hey, Mary, it is real, is a reality, and that how will happen. What Mary does now, that's the last verse for today. And I even get emotional every time I read about this verse and think about the context of this verse. We are talking about a girl of 12, 13 years old. That's what I believe. She is a child yet. She's a child. she receives this revelation, this manifestation of an angel in front of her. She'll get pregnant. She will have a baby boy. His name is Jesus. He'll be holy. She'll get pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is too much for her. She learned that Isabel is pregnant. What is going on here? How she would react? We know how Zechariah reacted, the religious leader, the priest at Jerusalem, at the center, the one that was teaching about God's Bible and stories all the time. How this little girl would react with all this information. Verse 38. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. What a powerful, powerful testimony. Lord, I trust you. I believe. And I know that what you have for me is the best. So even though I don't understand everything, even though I don't think appropriate or capable of doing what you're presenting to me, I trust you. That's the kind of faith we need to develop. Lord, I accept your plans for my life because I know that you have the best for me. I don't need a proof, but thank you for giving me evidences. But I trust you. Are you trusting the Lord? Are you surrender to his plans? You see, we like to have control. We like to be in charge. We want to know. But surrendering goes against that. It's letting go the control and let God take the wheel. And my question for you is, have you surrendered the control of your life today? Are you ready to give the will away and give to God? That is the faith that we need to develop every single day. That is the experience that we need to go through. And I pray that you'll be able to do that, knowing that God is a loving God and he has the best plans for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you for the assurance that we have that you have always the best plans for us. Plans of peace. Plans of prosperity. Help us to let it go. Help us to trust you, to surrender to you. Lord, sometimes it's not easy. We like to be in control. But if we want to develop a faith like Mary, we need to trust you and surrender to you. So help us, Lord. Thank you for Mary's account. Through her, all the world was blessed. Yes, she's a blessed woman for blessing us with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that everyone will receive and accept Jesus Christ and have an experience with him so we can trust him with all our heart, with all our soul, with our mind and strength. Be with us and bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, before we go, don't forget the questions that we want to leave with you every single day. Questions for you to journal, questions for you to reflect. And here are the questions. And maybe you can change a little bit to apply to this account. And here are the questions. What is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? And what ways has Jesus, and here we can change, what ways has God loved and served in this passage? How should I love and serve according to God's example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? Those are important questions for reflection and for putting our faith and our life in the right track, asking or looking for action, not just hearing, but doing. And I pray that you take some time to reflect on that and maybe journal, meditate on those questions and answers. May God bless you. And I hope that you will have a faith like Mary and will be available to God, because you know God is the Almighty and loving God. And remember, there is nothing impossible for God, and His word will always come to completion. So trust Him and love Him. May God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.